Blog Talk Radio.
Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise His righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live Yahuwah's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's radio. Yahuwah Ministry. I be your host. My name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery of the Bible, Tribe of Yahdah. Part number 119. It's going to be a very long series because we are unlocking a few things to fix it on the camp. We unlocking some things in grand style, no doubt about it. But like I said, again, I'm very disappointed in two out of the six camps. But I'm looking for them to redeem themselves and kick off in grand style real soon. And the understanding for more from Dust Bad Job Rock. See, one thing about this word, you can't hold pat and say, well, I got it. I'm all good. Because when you're all good means you're doing a Torah instruction. That's the word called all good. Statements like, I'm all good. No, that's not correct because this thing is about building up a nation. It's not us being all good. It's about what we're doing for our nation. Now, what it's all about, Seroy, it's about spreading this nation, not our individual self because we're not our own. We got to pray the nation. Got it? Good. All right, we're going to find our elder and bring him in, and I'll take a look at a couple of these old memos on the table. And like some very important stuff I'm looking at. Let me see. I don't know. Let's find our elder and bring him in, and he'll tell you all about this broadcast. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Chill. Yahqua bid you, Steve Ray.
And Yahqua bless you, Sir Israel, the Seed Royal. Hallelujah. Yahqua.
Hallelujah, Yahqua. Well, you know I'm always running, trying to get somewhere in grand style. I'm always trying to do my part because I know one thing. When you face this man, he's going to ask you one thing. How much effort did you put in there? Well, I'm going to try to give it all I got, no doubt about it. So, Elder, all I know one thing, the box can't have been lit. The curtain had went up. And it's up to you and I to sit at the table or what it's going to be about. You're going to clock. Come on.
Well, once again, Yahqua bless you, Sir Israel. And thank you for inviting me into tonight's broadcast among the cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the words of Yahqua. And I think many do really enjoy hearing the words of Yahqua, and that's why we have so many listeners on this program. It kind of reminds me that when, you know, you have two people that's gaining knowledge, they share that knowledge with each other. But when you look in Ecclesiastics or the Book of Sirach, chapter 21, verse 15, let's see what it says about these skillful people. In the Book of Sirach, or Ecclesiastics, and some Bibles, chapter 21, verse 15, it says, if a skillful man, a woman, hears a wise word, he or she will commend it and add unto it. But soon as one of no understanding hears it, it displeases him or her, and he or she casts it behind their back. Well, this is what happens, generally, most of the time. You know, people protect what they don't know with refusing to accept righteousness rather than to say, I need to learn this. They will immediately get angry, start an argument. That way they're protected from not knowing. That's the wrong way to go. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times, bad teaching, and loud bump the gums for righteous learning. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahqua's ministry. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. Many people have asked us, how do you guys in this camp get this much from this one book? That question's been asked many times, but those of us that attend know that it comes from connecting the books, the words of Yahqua, your health, foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days, and much more we get from this one book. We do this because this is information that you have sought. And you have to look no further. You have now found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. No class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. No, we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday. The current time of that class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine, right on the search line, EnterTribeYadav.com. And after you click Enter, just under the big line, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. In the other device, you might see menu. But still, after clicking that, you will still see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, or you tend to the people, Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. You know, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry, it's greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and mentioned once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah live. Also for building a school, which is very well needed. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program, Hallelujah Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check our calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends, and that includes myself, in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is a feature that's only available during a live broadcast time. To get there, just type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into a live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeal@gmail.com. Also for biblical subjects or related topics. Now, we even have a few numbers that you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is the live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, and that can be answered by any one of the 69 accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. But when you're calling that number, please do not call trying to teach. You will absolutely not receive a response. Remember, the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6, it says, be at peace with many. Nevertheless, have but one counselor over 1,000. The example was given, having 6 cooks making 1 cake. I don't even know what the outcome would be. Also, by calling the same number, you can inquire about our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure you give us the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. He's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos, and now even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line, 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call that number trying to teach. Also, the temple members should remember, when doing group scripture texts, it should be a phone call to rehearse the righteous act, and an answer given with a verbal precept, as the seer says. Remember the reminder that we are the children of Yahuwah. We are the blessed peacemakers, as says in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 9. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of our program today, you can catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Friday's program time is repeated after 10:30. To do that, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Just choose the program that you were late logging into, or at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, one other good note I'd like to mention. During our normal BroadTalk broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on PalTalk, being listed under ethnic group, African American, Just look for Voices of the Truth Lights, Tribe of Yadav. You'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. And online there to answer any of the discussed topics that we had will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, writing as Shotgun. Absolutely no comments will be taken off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And at Broad Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. So at this time, so our teaching can begin, let's turn our program back over to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there, Elder Mr. Tibbs. How are you? All right, let's go get the lines open up, because I left a lot of things that I didn't get a chance to get to yesterday, and I see the memos in. Yeah, there's a lot of information you need to know, and we're going to have to bring it out. So we might just go do a little rewind on it. I don't know. Might do a little rewind, but we're going to see if we're going to be on stage for the next episode and steady and always ready to see you online. That's a good thing. The young lion is always ready to roar. In fact, what verse was that they said about Hosea chapter 11, verse 10? I heard him talking about a lion going to do some roaring from the east and the west, something like that. You know, Hosea, he cried all year. Now, he heard the young lions talk about how they going to roar from the east to the west. And they pull a scripture somewhere around Hosea chapter 11, verse 10. Yeah, I recall it. So when you meet the young lion with a loud voice, you said, "Son of Micaiah, Israel, tribe of Yahuwah, Judah, up and come and teach you how to count one." Yahuwah be to that thing right.
Yahuwah bless you. Fear Israel of the Lord. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Now, you know, I heard you another young lion, y'all were discussing a verse. Was that Hosea chapter 11, verse 10, somewhere y'all were saying about some heavy roaring that y'all would have to exhibit or something about some heavy, some lion doing some roaring or something? You know, did the old seer, did he hear that? Brother Makai back at you come up.
Yeah, that was at Hosea chapter 11, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, "They shall walk after Yahuwah. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west."
Huh. And that's what we had in the west. So that letting us know that the young lions got to do some roaring and start trembling the children of Israel from the west. And so we in the west, so that means coming up on the bottom part of Saturday, the young lion gonna start exhibiting how to do some roaring, and Mother D.F. Israel and Old Seer, we're gonna be all ears and get a good peep in on this roaring, and but we'll be watching the demeanor. See, it's a way to roar, and it's a way to be, you know, what word can I, give me a good word, give me a good word. It's to put otherwise be in order. That's good stuff. So I'm excited to understand and to know that the young lion's gonna be doing some roaring, and so we just rehearse the righteous act along the way, and just be prepared to Mother D up Israel and Old Seals, and we just check you out and see as you're rolling, and do you meet him where he is, and we'll watch and see if you're able to just let him bump the gums and just say, well, and put some scriptures on them, you know, the readers read and the teachers teach. That's it. No breakdown from the readers, just read. And the teachers do the breakdown, and you know, and it looked like to me, I smell success in the before you jump off. That's what I do. So We leave it like it is, right there. I'm always excited there, young lion, because we leave it like it is. You, that's a powerful verse, that 11 verse 10. We leave it right there on the table, and we go and look down to see if we find the lioness, the lioness, Moses D.F. Israel. She's Moses D.F. Israel. You know, who takes her? She'll call the way it is, and she all here. And she's pulling for the best for the six on the camp. You know, I got a little issue with three out of the six camps. I thought it was two, but now I found it's three out of the six camps. You know, you just don't never get packed. Three out of six camps. Don't get. I know you're lying a lot and all that. Don't get. Never think you were there yet.
You aren't going.
It's always the things that haven't been told that you need to know. So, you know, keep the spirit right. A big job is here on all of us to come. Big job is here. So one thing about it, you gotta be on one accord. And our whole goal is to raise the nation to be one accord to fulfill a prophecy in Jeremiah. Now, let me write it down. The prophecy in Jeremiah that got to be fulfilled, see. And we know this ministry is going to be the one that do it. So I'm pulling for you. I'm pulling for you. That's all I can tell you. Mother of Israel, tribe of Yahshua Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother of Israel. Yahshua be there, see Israel.
Yahshua bless you, see Israel of see Royal. Hallelujah, Yahshua.
Hallelujah, Yahshua there, Mother of Israel. Well, one thing about it, we know the grandbabies, you know, they had their moments around the National Orleans and Grand Style yesterday, so they got their hallelujah yesterday, and that was a good thing, because that let me know we got some in the background on their way to take it to another level. That's good. I'm excited to deal with this, part number 119. All I'm about is some Yahuwah's business, and because I know one thing, this ministry is going to be the ministry to unlock the biblical mysteries of the Bible. Brother Micaiah, Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if we get something going on. Come on.
Look at Luke 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
You know, I believe that, young lion. This is a special edition called Thursday, and I believe everything you just got to read. But I want to kind of take care of a little groundwork that we left off on and tie it in a little bit more. I want to take care of a little groundwork. And I was writing, and all of a sudden, something just slipped my mind just then and there by watching that memo. So I want to open up in the book called Exodus chapter 3, young lion. I want to look at something in Exodus chapter 3 and see what this was just already prophesied. Exodus 3, verse 16 and 17. Then swing right down to the book of Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 6 and 15. Go back to back with that, and let me see if I get something going on in Exodus 3, 16 and 17, and Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 6 and verse 15. Let's try that, young lion. You on the clock. Come on.
Okay. The book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. Verse 16 reads, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Yahuwah, Yahuwah of your father, Yahuwah of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt." Verse 17. "And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites,
and the Hittites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 6 and verse 15. Verse 6 reads, in the day that I lift up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the honor of all lands. Verse 15 reads, yet also I lift up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the greatness of all land.
Yeah, so it was already prophesied that the children of Israel were going to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. So it was flowing with milk and honey. We're clear about that. And I want to talk about something, Mother D.F. Israel, for a minute. And I want to look at Numbers chapter 6. No, Numbers chapter 12, Mother D.F. Israel. And Brother Micaiah held me 21, laying in the wings, waiting on me. Vision of Paul 21. Had that land to the side, and 22. It's had that land to the side there, waiting on me. Mother D of Israel, what it says in Numbers chapter 6, let me get it right, 12, verse 6. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. What can we read, Mother D of Israel? Come on.
Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a seer among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream.
Mm-hmm. So there is a death seed, right? So he said, now, if anybody that I'm going to deal with, but he made it specific, we're not going to get off into that, he'll speak to you in a vision or a dream. Now, you have to recognize the signs of time. So now, if that's the case, Mother D.F. Israel, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. And matter of fact, Brother Micaiah, you have me the vision of Paul 1 and 2. Then we'll get down to 21. 1, 2, and 21. So, if that's the case, Yahweh speak. Remember, you don't change how you operate. Certain he speak to in a vision, and some he speak to in a dream. Good. Now we're going to find out how he's speaking to this man right here in 2 Corinthians 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's see how he's going to speak to this man right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. Mother D.F. Israel, come on.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Verse 1, it is not exceedingly for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to vision and revelation of Yahweh. Verse 2, I know a man in Yahweh the Son above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. Yahweh knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Verse 3. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Yahweh knows. Verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter.
Now see, there go your game changer there. Now, if you just read that in 2 Corinthians 1:2-4, and knowing that Yahweh says the only way you're going to understand his Bible, mother, D.F. Israel, you have to go to the book of Psalms 119:4 and 104. When Paul just got through saying what he just got through saying, you talk about a man he knows back in the day. Was he in the body or out of the body? I can't tell. But all I know one thing, he was cut up to to paradise somewhere. Now, if you read that with the mindset of what you own and don't understand the water of Yahweh, you're going to assert some in there, but then you're going to get jumped on it in time to come. That's what's going to happen. We go on to Psalm 119:4 and 104. What it says, we can read, Mother D of Israel, Psalms 119:4, then skip down to 104. Come on.
Psalms 119:4 and 104. Thou hast commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. 104. Okay. 104. 104. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way.
So the only way you get to understand what Paul is saying, you got to do the precepts. You got to, and it tells you, and we're not reading Isaiah 28:10. He said you must do that. So Paul is doing a whole lot of talking, but let's see, can we paint the picture on what Paul really said about this man? Matter of fact, we'll read a little bit more about this man a little bit later. But is he talking about himself? Peterson said yes, and Peterson said no. They don't know. But go to Business Paul 1 and 2. Let's see who Paul, what's going on as we paint this picture of what's going on in 2 Corinthians 1-4. Let's see if we can paint this picture out of the Business Paul. And remember, Paul was raised from the womb. And remember, if Yahweh got something to say to the majority of them, he talked to him in a vision or in a dream. Now, keep that in your mind. Let's find out what state Paul in, because a lot of people think Paul had an out-of-body experience. See, that's the kind of cause we got behind that. Oh, Paul had an out-of-body experience. No, Paul was in a vision. He's going to tell you exactly what was going on himself. So let Paul speak for himself in 1 and chapter 2. Let Paul speak for himself. Brother Mackay, let Paul speak for himself. You on the clock, come on.
Okay. The vision of Paul, chapter 1, chapter 2. One read. At what time was this revelation made? In the consulship of So Dicey, Augustus, the younger, and Seneger, a certain noble man, then living in Tarsus, and the house which was that of Saint Paul, and ministering spirit, appearing in the night, revealed to him, saying that he should open the foundations of the house and should public what he found. But he thought that these things were dreams. Verse 2.
Wait, hold on a minute.
But.
Hold on a minute. Now, I'm going to be in and out this, Brother Picasso. Have a great deal. Don't get all deep in it real tight, because I'm going to be in and out, because there's some points I want to bring out. So, we just got through reading. Now, Paul just said, He said, now, I don't know, was I in a vision or I was in a dream, but then we got to just got to read out of the book of Numbers. That's how he wrote. So it's not, it wasn't no out-of-body experience. At the point, you know, Dick Diggitary said, oh, Paul had a out-of-body experience. Well, no, not no out-of-body experience. We're letting you know that what Paul was going through, the same thing Yahweh said in Numbers 12:6. If I'm going to speak to you, matter of fact, I got to pull a rabbit out of that. Now, I know I'm struggling, but see, things will come to you. In the book of Job, you know, if anybody can help those see out in the book of Job, I'm struggling right now. But in the, in the book of Job, it talks about it. And the old seer knows it talks about what I'm getting ready to put on the table, how Yahweh operates with those that's his messenger. And Issachar, boy, made a profound statement on how he operates. So if anybody can help the old seer out and how he operates, that we can read, so that we can quiet time on the airways, but anybody can help those see out on something that we can read and thank you, Mr. Till. All right, Job 33 there, Mother D.F. Israel. Give me Job 33 and let's paint this picture. Job 33, Mother C.F. Israel. Job 33, and we'll pick it at verse 13 down to verse 16. Listen to how Yahweh operates. See, we got to know how Yahweh operates because a lot of people say, you know, Paul had an out-of-body experience. Well, you can say that, but then you have to run some scriptures down to see can they hold up. And we're going to 33, and we're going to look at Issachar's boy in 13 down to verse 16. Tell me out there, Mother D.F. Israel, and, oh, Issachar's boy, the book of Job 33, 13 down to verse 16. You on the clock, come out.
Job chapter 33, verse 13 to 15. Verse 13. Why do thou strive against him? Why doest thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. 14. For Yahweh speaketh once, yet twice, yet man perceives it not. Verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumbering upon the bed. Verse 16.
Yeah, then you write down 16, must be up Israel. 13 to 16.
Yeah, I heard you say 13.
Read.
Okay, 16. Then he opened the ears of men and sealeth their instruction.
Oh, so there you go. See, this out-of-body experience, see, that's when you get trickery things and you start thinking about, you know, that's Christianity get in there and all type of religious get in there. Come out, I had an out-of-body experience. No. That ain't how he operates. How he operated there. He went to old man, get good and tired. And when old man lay him down, and that's when Yahweh set up the instructions why you might be sitting up on a tree. Then you go off into a trance. But you still sit up on that tree. You ain't had no out-of-body experience. So the big dignitaries, they won't talk about, out-of-body experience. No, ain't no out-of-body experience. Just let me take a couple notes on what y'all are talking about, and we'll see how Yahweh wants to bring it to the next day. No, he ain't left his body and went nowhere. You're going to find out he's in the same spot that Job was at. He's in the same spot that when Moses, when they were talking smack to Moses, he said, look here, if I got something to say to y'all, it be in a vision or a dream, but ain't nobody going to come out, ain't nobody went out the body and went nowhere. So keep that in your mind. So I'm taking that picture in your head about Paul on the left. Where he was at and went somewhere else. Paul is what we get ready to read. That's where he at. And the middle spirit is right there with him. Got him all. He all stressed out. And the middle spirit is right there to get ready to work him over a little bit. Because he reminded him about Galatians 1:16 now, mother dear Israel. So first thing he did, he reminded old Paul and Galatians 1:15 and 16. What do you remind Paul that we can read in Galatians 1:15 and 16? Mother dear Israel, come on.
Okay. Galatians chapter 1. Okay. Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased Yahweh, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the nations, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
So now the middle spirit reminded him, hey, Paul, you was born for these days. This is the reason your mother and your father came together to produce something that Yahweh wants to work with, you. So now the middle spirit over here in business of Paul chapter 1, he came through the walls or the ceiling of old Paul yet, and now he going eyeball to close eye Paul right now. Oh, close eye Paul. Let's see what's going on if we can read that, Brother Micaiah. Now here come the minister spirit. Now he floated on down into where Paul was at. Let's see what's going on that we can read. Come on.
Here's in the Paul to read. But the ministering spirit, coming for the third time, beat him and forced him to open the foundation. In digging, he found a marble box inscribed on the side. There was the revelation of Paul. In his shoes.
Hold that part right there. Hold that part right there. So when Paul, Mother D.F. is out, now, like I said, young line, we'll be all over the place, spirit led.
Mm-hmm.
So bear with those fear, because some of them come out of it, but you got to play it the way it give it to you. So now we can understand in 1 Corinthians 3 there, Mother D.F. Israel, we might can understand what Paul is saying now by going to 1 Corinthians 3 when Paul made this statement. And see, if you don't know how to precept it, you'll get yourself all caught up and don't understand what Paul is bringing to the table. What is he saying, 3 verse number 10, that we can read? 1 Corinthians 3:10, what did he say that we can read, Jeff, Mother D.F. Israel? 3 verse 10.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of Yahweh, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and others build thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? See, that's the vision of Paul. Here is right here. So now here's Paul. Paul can make that statement because we read from the vision of Paul that the Mr. Spirit had to beat him 3 times and tell him, what again, Brother Micaiah, about this foundation?
The book of Vision of Paul, chapter 2, to read.
But the menacing spirit, coming for the third time, beat him and forced him to open the foundation.
Ain't that something? You hit the man, friend. The man trying to take, listen, you know the reason why you don't understand this thing? Because the right spirit ain't in you. And it ain't going to get into you understand one thing. Because the books is not in canon, don't mean you don't know how to, you got to know how to get in and tighten it up. Paul was telling the northern kingdom about he laid the foundation. The middle spirit said, yeah, that's what you own, Paul. We want you to lay this foundation. It's some things that need to be said. We want you to say it because you the man of the hour. So now Paul is being guided by the middle spirit. In a deep sleep or a dream, whatever he in, Red Down Paul is going one-on-one with the mental spirit inside of his house. He ain't had no out-of-body experience nowhere. His mind may have, his mind had not. Remember, Yahweh told Job that he seals up man's instructions while he in a deep sleep.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. Don't come into that spookery stuff to my son. Out-of-body experience. Well, you know, my body, is. I was laying in a hospital, and my body went all the way up to third heaven. Then why you come back then, Bob? What'd you come back? If you must have seen all it up there, then why you come back? And you write a book on that. Give me some more. Give me some more, young lion. Give me some more of that.
Okay. Vision of Paul, verse 2. Verse 2, picking it up at the foundation. Read. And digging, he found a marble box inscribed on the side. There was the revelation of Paul in his shoes in which he walked, teaching the word of Yahweh. But he feared to open that box and brought it to the judge. When he had received it, the judge, because it was sealed with lead, sent it to the emperor, Theodosius, fearing lest it might be something else, which when he had received, the emperor opened and found the revelation of St. Paul. A copy of it he sent to Yada and retained the original himself.
Go ahead.
Verse 3. While I was in the body in which I was snatched up into the third heaven, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, speak to the people. Until when will you transgress and heap sin upon sin and tempt Yahweh who made you? You are the sons of Yahweh, doing the works of the devil in the covenant of Yahweh the Son, on account of the impediment of the world. Remember therefore and know that while every creature serves Yahweh, the human race alone sins, but it reigns over every creature in sin more than all nature.
Good. That's good enough. So now Paul, he said he was snatched up. Now Paul was snatched up. What Paul is saying that he, you know, they got him as he's snatched up like something, like he or no. Now we're going to tighten up 2 Corinthians 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, Mother Dear of Israel, come back and read 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4 one more time. But we can kind of get my thoughts together. Come back to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4. And so now we find out that Paul, Spirit now is working with Paul on some good stuff. But I need verse 4 again one more time. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Come on.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Howbeit he was caught up unto paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter.
So he said he was always caught up. Now he said he knew a man about 14 years ago. You know, this man he's talking about that he knew about 14 years ago was, he's talking about, let me get a precept in Galatians there. Let's see what man he's talking about. What man he talking about? Sort of Galatian there, Mother D of Israel. Let's see what man he's talking about that we can read. In Galatians chapter 2 and 1 and 2, you remember he was saying about this. What verse was that again you read about the revelation there, young line and a vision of Paul? When Paul said he went up, about something he said about Revelation, didn't he say something like that?
Yes.
Can you recall what you read when the word Revelation came on the table? What was that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. What did it say?
That was chapter 2. He says, there's three parts they say about Revelation. He says, but the angel coming for the third time beat him and forced him to open the foundation. In digging, he found a marble box. Inscribed on the side, there was the revelation of St. Paul in his shoes in which he walked, teaching the word of Yahuwah.
Good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mother dear of Israel, let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and see if we paint the picture a little bit on what Paul's saying. He said he knew a man about 14 years ago. Was in the body, I don't know. That's the way he was talking. Let's see him break that down himself in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2.
Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. Verse 2. And I went up by the revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But
good.
Private.
Good. Good. So Paul is rehearsing what this man about 14 years ago, you know, they're like a brother. Okay, I use a case in point. Somebody that meets you now and they ain't seen you in about 15 years, they going to bring up some things that you did prior to it, but you ain't the same person as you was 14 or 15 years ago. See, Paul was talking about that man of Tarsus that he knew. See, Paul was talking about himself. He wasn't talking about no Yahuwah the Son. He was talking about himself. So that was when you read that book of 2 Corinthians 1, 2, 3, 4, that's Paul talking about himself. I knew a man about 14 years ago that otherwise, thing that was back in the day, I don't do that no more. I ain't on that no more. See, that's what he's saying. I ain't on that no more. I'm on a higher calling now. So when you read the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 3, 4, all the big major camps going to just thumb at that stone. Because you know why? They don't know how to tie it all in and paint the picture. Now we go on with that same understanding in the business of Paul 21. Now we're going to 21 there, Brother Titus. Brother Micaiah. We're going to the 21st chapter. And remember what he said. He said, I knew a man about 14 years ago. Was he in the body? I don't know. And he said in that verse 3, he heard unspeakable words. Did he say that? What verse did he say that in anyway? Let me get that word. He said he heard unspeakable words somewhere. What verse is that he heard all these unspeakable words at? Let's see what verse is that. He says, and that it's not right for a man even utter. What verse was that in verse 4? Is that what, yeah, read verse 4 again. One more time.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter.
So he said he heard unspeakable words. He said words I heard, it ain't lawful. It ain't Torah keeping to even open your mouth of what he heard. See, this is where we got to come in at. With stuff like this on the table, but like I said again, it's 3 out of 6 of Barcelona to his life. I am disappointed in them because no growth. Not on the point. Knowing that you've been created for these moments right here. These are the moments you've been created for. To understand this thing right here, gonna bust wide open, and you're not gonna be prepared because you'll get off into your own feelings, and you're not gonna be by Yahweh's word. Because he's gonna tell, he's gonna show up. Some big stuff coming up. So now, how that he was caught up at the paradise and heard unspeakable words. Now let's go to business, Paul 21, and let's see what we can get out of there. Brother Micaiah. See, the game changer is that if they're going to continue to be hell-bent and stay in them 66 books, knowing that we're going to read that Enoch laid out some things, it was more than that. We'll get in there a little later. What you reading out of Vision of Paul 21? Bring it.
Vision of Paul, verse 21. 21 reads, and the ministering spirit answered and said to me, whatever I know, whatever I now show you here, and whatever you shall hear, tell it not to anyone in the earth. And he led me and showed me. And there I heard words which it is not lawful for a man to speak. And again,
wait a minute.
He said,
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. He heard words unlawful. Didn't Paul just say that? So that's Paul. That's mm-hmm. Paul talking about himself. So in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Paul ain't talking about he met a man, no man, about 14. I don't think Paul see Yahweh the Son, period. I mean, I don't know what we read now. I don't think he seen this, but he knew that he was put in that position. Yeah, he seen when Yahweh appeared on him and told him in the 9th chapter of Romans, he said, hey, man, why are you kicking against the prick? He said, who are you? Yahweh? Yeah, I'm Yahweh. He said, why are you kicking against me over here, Paul? That's the first time Paul ever met him right there, when Yahweh spoke to him from heaven. So Paul didn't bump into him in the body. That we can read. So Paul made his first contact with Yahweh in the 9th chapter of Acts, when he had to beat him up real good and told him what to do. That's when his first, but Yahweh was in it. Yahweh the Son was in his strength. So Paul is talking about some good stuff now if you prepare to paint the picture, you know. Now, come on back to Vision of Paul 21 again.
Okay, the Vision of Paul 21. Picking it back up at 21. And the ministering spirit answered and said to me, whatever I now show you here, and whatever you shall hear, tell it not to anyone in the earth. And he led me and showed me. And there I heard words which it is not lawful for a man to speak. And again he said, for now follow me, and I will show you what you ought to narrate in public and relate.
and he took me down from the third heaven and led me into the second heaven. And again, he led me on the firmament. And from the firmament, he led me over the doors of heaven. The beginning of his foundation was on the river, which waters all the earth. And I asked the ministering spirit and said,
promise. Have you never heard what it
what is written. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
The what?
The earth.
The what?
The earth.
The earth. So the paradise, the land of promise, is the what?
The earth.
The earth.
Thank you, Lord dear. Thank you, Mother dear Israel. The earth, the earth. Where Paul is at, he's on some part of the earth. The promised land, the land of milk and honey, all that is pointing toward not up, up, and away. It's right here on earth. It's somewhere that we got to locate it in right. We got to locate it in right. But all this is talking about on the earth. Keep reading that 21 out, and we go on to verse 22. Now be listening real quick, because I'm going to be breaking in to tie some things in, because we got to be clear that Paul was snatched up to paradise on earth, which is the land of promise. What was promised to the children of Israel, land of milk and honey on earth, not up, up, and away. Come on, read.
Okay. Verse 21, continuing verse 21. The souls, therefore, of the just, when they have gone out of the body, are meanwhile dismissed to this place. And I said,
wait a minute now. The souls of the just, the ones that, that's good stuff. See, understand one thing. Those that do this thing right, that 12 verse 7, Mother D.F. Israel, we're going to find out what that 12 verse 7 go to in Ecclesiastes. We're going to find out what happened 12 verse 7 of Ecclesiastes. We're going to find out something. On the way of finding out something. What is saying 12 verse 7?
Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto Yahuwah who gave it.
Yeah, so it returned to Yahuwah. Now we got to find out what do Yahuwah do with it. See now we got to find out, since Yahuwah will be having that spirit with him, what he going to do with it. But we only get, all going to find out is through the pages of the book. Because Paul have to reveal this, but he had to hold this off to those that had an ear to hear, and three out of the six council voices of the two Israelites got an ear to hear. Three out of the six. They got an ear to hear. So now we need to take care of some things. On the way of taking care of some things. Keep reading.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay, picking it back up.
Don't get caught up. Keep your hand when I break in on you. Make sure you're on that last word that we broke into, because we're going to lay some things out there, Brother Micaiah. And can you stand up when we lay a few things out? Don't get caught up. Just be cold-blooded in the reading.
Okay. And I said to the ministry spirit, this land will be manifested before time. The ministry spirit answered and said to me, when Yahuwah the Son, whom you teach, shall come to reign, then by the senses of Yahuwah, the first earth will be dissolved, and this land of promise will then be revealed, and it will be dew.
Wait a minute. Hold on. This what going to be revealed?
This land will be manifest before time.
This land of what? The land of what?
This land will be manifest before time. The main spirit actually said to me, when Yahuwah the Son.
Hold on, back up a little bit. This land of who? Back up a little bit. This land of who? Back up a little bit more.
Okay. The souls, therefore, of just, when they have gone out of the body, are meanwhile dismissed to this place. And I said to the ministry spirit, then this land will be manifested before the time. The ministry spirit answered and said to me, when Yahuwah the Son, whom you teach, shall come to reign, then by the census of Yahuwah, the first earth will be dissolved, and this land of promise will then be revealed.
This land of what? This
promise.
Land of what? The land of promise. Oh, we keep hearing that land of promise. That land that was promised to a people. What land was no land promised to nobody up in OA? Huh? It wasn't no land that was promised to nobody gonna be going no out of body, everybody gonna be going blowing up something. No. It was a land promised to a people. We'll find out later. But it was a land that had been promised all the way back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It was a land that was promised to a people. See, that's why I don't change how he rolls. It's just we've been caught up in Christianity so hard we just can't connect. That's why we must come now. Come on, read some more.
Okay. Will then be revealed, and it will be like dew of clouds. And then Yahuwah the Son, the King Eternal, will be manifested and will come with all his saints to dwell in it. And he will reign over them 1,000 years, and they will eat of the good things which I shall now show unto you.
Okay. So we find out that Yahuwah is coming. So Yahuwah is coming to the land of promise. He gonna leave where he is by being on the right hand of the Father, and he's coming to the land of promise to rule.
Mm-hmm.
This was reminding Paul that Yahuwah the Son is coming from where he is. As a matter of fact, where is he at, Mother D.F., that's where we can read in the book of Acts chapter 7. Let's find out where is he at. Where is he at that we can read that he's coming? He's coming, but where is he at right now that we can read? Let's see where he at that we can read in Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56. Where is Yahuwah the Son at that we can read in Acts 7, 55 and 56? Come on, that mother dear, if it's not out the power for me. Come on.
Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56. Verse 55. But he, being filled of the righteous spirit, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and into heaven, and saw the honor of Yahuwah the Father and Yahuwah the Son standing on the right hand of Yahuwah the Father. 56. And said, behold, I see the heaven open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of Yahuwah the Father.
So, if he coming, that means he got to leave from being on the right hand of the Father to the land of promise. The land of promise ain't where he at. The land of promise and paradise is where he is coming to at a point in time. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Mother D.F. Israel, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Help me out there, Mother D.F. Israel. 1 Peter chapter 3, write it down, verse 22, then take off.
Peter, chapter 3, verse 22. Who is gone unto heaven and is on the right hand of Yahuwah? Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him.
Thank you, sir. So now we clear that the sun is up in the third heaven, way up there in heaven somewhere, on the right hand of the Father, and he coming down. He's coming down to the land of promise. He's coming down to paradise. He's coming down, see, Roya. You're not having no out-of-body experience going past the... No, that's Christianity. Now, come on back there, our young lion. So now we're starting to paint the picture a little bit. We picture a little bit. Now, come on back. You're still in 21, right?
Yeah.
All right, give me some more. Give me some more out of 21.
Oh, we done with 21. We want to go to 22?
All right, we're going to 22 now. Yeah, we're going to 22 now.
Vision of Paul, verse 22. 22 read. And I looked around upon that land, and I saw a river flowing of milk and honey. And there were trees planted by the bank of that river, full of fruit. Moreover, each single tree bore 12 fruits in the year, having various and diverse fruits. And I saw the created things which are in that place, and all the work of Yahuwah. And I saw their palms of 20 cubits, but others
of
10
cubits. Hold that palm right there. Hold that palm right there. So now Paul said he seen a tree. How many trees? He put a number there, then he back up a little bit. So now Paul is describing the place that he's looking at now. He said, now what got his attention, how many numbers and how many trees, he said, that got Paul's attention. Something got Paul's attention on a number that we got to precept it and tie it in. What did he say?
Okay, he said, and there were trees planted by the bank of that river full of fruit. Moreover, each single tree bore 12 fruits in the year, having berries and diverse fruits.
Hold that point right there. Hold that point right there. So he said it was 12 trees, 12 fruits, and they brought out every year. That's what he said. So now the place he's talking about now, that he's seen. Let's go to Ezekiel, Mother D up Israel. Let's see, can we see what he's looking at. So Paul said he's looking at the place of the promised land, and he's looking at the place where the 12 trees or fruits that is, and they took care of business every year and all that good stuff. So now we need to precept that, Mother D up Israel, to see exactly what he's talking about, and maybe Ezekiel the seal can get in there and help us out to help paint the picture. Let's go to the 47th chapter, Mother D of Israel. Let's see, we go to the 47th chapter, and we'll look at verse 1 and 2. Then we'll skip down to verse number 7, and then we'll clean it up real good in verse 12 and 13. Ezekiel 47, 1, 2, 7, 12, and 13. Ezekiel 47, 1, 2, 7, 12, and 13. Let's see what Paul looking at. Let's see what is that he's looking at. Ezekiel has to look somewhere. Let's see exactly what's being confirmed in the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, 1, 2, 7, 12, and 13. Come on.
Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 1 and 2, verse 7, 12, and 13. Verse 1, Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the water came down from under from the right side of the house at the side at the south side of the altar. Verse 2, then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out water on the right side. Verse 7, now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Verse 12. And by the river upon the bank thereof on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to the month, because their water they issue out of the sanctuary temple, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. 13. Thus says Yahweh, this shall be the border whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions.
Hey, that's a, you mean Paul is saying he was saying the promise that was way back in Genesis 16 and 17, and now this right here that Paul is looking at is the 12 trees, the 12 manners, and this is not for the world. It's for the who in the last line, the last two line mother, D.F. Israel. Who is this for that we can read? That's what Paul just didn't put in there because he knew that you knew what Ezekiel had written, and he just confirmed it in 47. He said all this good stuff is for whom in verse 13, the last two lines.
Ezekiel 47, verse 13. Whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions.
Excellent. Right there. So what Paul is looking at, that's what Paul was to tell the children of the book, that if you do right, I've been shown you in the land where 12 trees in this land, and it's going to take care of your meat, and it's going to take care of all the medicine, and every month you will have more information, but this is for the 12 tribes of Israel. See that, see right? So you see, remember we read in 1 Corinthians, we now read 2, verse 9, and Isaiah 64, verse 4. He said, eyes ain't seen what Yahweh got promised for you. Mm-hmm. But he got it written what's promised for you, but it's something that you got to do to receive. We paint the picture now. Come on back to verse 22 there, young lion. Verse 22.
Okay. Verse 22 read. And I saw ye having various and devised fruits, and I saw the created things which are in that place, and all the work of Yahweh. And I saw their palms of 20 cubits, but others of 10 cubits. And that land was seven times brighter than silver. And there were trees full of fruits from the roots to the highest branches, of 10,000 fruits upon 10,000 fruits. The grapevines, moreover, had 10,000 plants. Moreover, in the single vine, there were 10,000 bunches
and in each of these 1,000 single grapes. Moreover, each single tree bore 1,000 fruits. And I said to the ministering spirit, why does each tree bear 1,000 fruits? The ministering spirit answered and said to me, because Yahuwah gives an abounding flood of gifts to the worthy, because they also of their own will afflict themselves when they were placed in the world doing all things on account of his righteous name. And again, I said to you.
Hold that point. He's all this stuff is because of those that afflict themselves and staying in the righteous name. He's letting you know, he told you plainly what you got coming. But you got to believe that you got to give up something, but get this. He said, these are the ones that afflict themselves and staying in the name, and whatever they have thought they once had, they got it 1,000 times better if you hold on to what Paul is to give the people's hope with to come. End of the day. So he letting you know what prices you're going to have to pay to receive what Paul looking at. You still going to try to hold on to that old piece of house, piece of car, and all these things, and Yahuwah sent the messenger spirit to show Paul to tell them that, listen, if they hold on, this is what they got coming. So Paul is revealing what you got coming if you hold on to what you get ready to read and believe it. Come on, give me some more there, young lion.
Okay, and again, I said to the ministering spirit, sir, are these the only promises which the Most High Yahuwah makes? And he answered and said to me, no, there are 7 times greater than these. But I say unto you that when the just go out of the body, they shall see the promises and the good things which Yahuwah has prepared for them. Till then, they shall sigh and lament, saying, have we emitted any word from our mouth to back our neighbor even on one day? I asked and said again, are these alone the promises of Yahuwah? And the ministering spirit answered and said to me, these whom you know see are the souls of the married, and those who kept the chastity of their nuptials contained in themselves. But to the virgin, and those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and those who afflicted themselves for the sake of the name of Yahuwah, Yahuwah will give 7 times greater than these, which I shall now show you. And then he took.
So look what Yahuwah is saying. So Yahuwah is telling you exactly, Paul, listen, Paul. They know. Now let's precept that, mother dear of Israel. Now he says, 7 times greater is coming in whatever you can imagine on earth in this life. When you get there, it's going to be 7 times greater. Now, we're going to precept that word 7 times greater in 2nd Ezra, in the book of Sirach 35. Now, we're going to show you something else 7 times greater if you remove your amnesia, just as he's telling you about 7 times greater. That if they understand whatever you're looking at right now temporarily, but what he got coming for you is 7 times greater. But you got to step up to deal with this. We go on to Torah 35, figure verse 1. And we're going to read down to that same statement. We're going to see if we read down to that same statement. Matter of fact, Bob McKay picked that up because mother is entertaining right now. Put a mark on what you in right now and give me that 35 verse 1. Give me the Sirach 35 verse 1.
Book of Sirach.
Let's see what we can read.
Okay, the Book of Sirach 35 verse 1. Verse 1 reads, he that keepeth the Torah instruction bringeth offerings enough. He that taketh heed to the Torah instruction offereth a peace offering. Verse 2. He that requires a good turn offereth fine flour, and he that giveth alms sacrifices praise. Verse 3. To depart from wickedness is a thing pleasing to Yahweh, and to forsake unrighteousness is a propitiation. Verse 4. You shall not appear empty before Yahweh. Verse 5. For all these things are to be done because of the Torah instructions. Verse 6. The offering of the righteous makes the altar fat, and the sweet savor thereof is before the Most High, Yahweh. Verse 7. The sacrifice of a just man is acceptable, and the memorial thereof shall never be forgotten. Verse 8. Give Yahweh his honor with a good eye, and diminish not the first fruits of your hand. Verse 9. And all your gifts show a cheerful countenance, and dedicate the tithes with gladness. Verse 10. Give unto the Most High Yahweh according as he hath enriched you, and as you have got, give with a cheerful eye. Verse 11. For Yahweh recompense, and will give you seven times as much. Verse 12.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the same thing they keep telling you. When you step out of Yahweh, same thing he's showing Paul, if you overcome this world thing, you got seven times coming in the kingdom of paradise. Same thing he's telling you about your tithe, your free will offering. If you step up to the plate and take care of that, Yahweh said you got seven times more coming to you. But this is where you have the amnesia about. It's the tithe, free will offerings, and donations. Yahweh is saying, I got a seven coming for you if you step out on what I got written. That's all he's saying. Let's go back to that business, Paul. We'll be back to that 22. So he's saying, he's telling Paul, they hold on. They got a seven times coming than what they ever even thought about experiencing on earth. And the same thing he tell you about being on earth, when you step up to your place and make sure you wrap the top of your tithe, free will offering, and donation, he say you got seven times coming back to you. But this is where you fall off on the wagon and catch the amnesia. And one day Yahweh will catch the amnesia with you. Now, come back to where we was at again there in that 21 chapter.
Okay. The vision of Paul, chapter 22, taking it back up. And then he took me up from that place where I saw these things. And behold, a river, and its waters were greatly wider than milk. And I said to the ministering spirit, what is this? And he said to me, this is the Acherusin Lake. Acherusin Lake. Where is the city of Yahweh the Son? But not every man is permitted to enter that city, for this is the journey which leads to Yahweh. And if anyone is a fornicator and impious, and is converted, and shall repent and do fruits worthy of repentance, at first indeed when he shall have gone out of the body, he is led and adores Yahweh, and there by command of Yahweh he is delivered to the ministering spirit Michael, and be baptized him in the Chronosian, Lake. Thus, he leads them into the city of Yahweh the Son, alongside of those who have never sinned. But I wonder and bless Yahweh, Yahweh for all the things which I saw.
Yeah, see, so remember Paul, the ministry got a hold to Paul because Paul was brought to attention. You was created to reveal this information. Exactly, letting you know that if you, again, when you shut this thing down, you got two angels that going to be either or. If you don't done this thing the way you're reading it, Michael going to show up and take you someplace. We're going to show you where, maybe this lesson. But if you not think about your loved ones or whatever, they got two choices. Either they're going to, that's why you six anointed camps got to understand the plan of the shutdown and what's going to happen to your loved ones after they shut down. It's your job is to have this information. You're going to be met after death with Michael or Tata Teresa. One or the other going to meet you after you shut it down. And when Michael meets you, he's going to take you to a place. When Tata Teresa meets you, she's going to take you to a place. So you clear, one or the other will receive you after whatever way you have deceased from being when you lay in that casket. That's a shell going back to the ground. But that thing inside of you, either Michael going to be present and tell you something, or Tata Teresa going to tell you something. So all that, what you do at these funerals, that's why you have to have a captain tell you, let me show you about what happened when your loved one shed them down. That's why give me a verse, Mother Jeff, Israel. That's why the seer in 17:13 of Jeremiah. What does Jeremiah 17:13 say? Because see, you got to take this serious to have the answer. Because you understand one thing: either you gonna be met with Michael or Tata Teresa, and you going someplace unto a point in time. And that's what Jeremiah is saying in 17:13. Now look what Jeremiah the seer was saying in 17:13. What did he say?
Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. O Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living water.
So you see, you know, you have to be clear on what you're doing. And see, Yahweh gonna say something to you when you put in a position to minister the word of Yahweh. If you all fumbling around and don't have no answers, it's gonna cost you. And Jeremiah gonna tell you something later on, but get to it later. But let's come back to business of Paul now. Now we're going to business of Paul verse 5. See, we're going to be in and out of Vision of Paul for a couple of days because there's something in it, and that's why I say to those that have been put in this position, Yahweh told you plainly what we can read of Mother Deep Israel in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. He made it plain Paul was addressing Southern Kingdom and all the Northern that was allowed to come in. He addressed them and told them something in the 10th chapter, 35 to 39. Listen to what he said that we can read.
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 39. Verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of Yahweh, ye might receive the promise. 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. 38. Now the just shall live by the faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
He says, if you draw back, I'm gonna do something to you. Once he says, you draw back and you ain't got that steam ahead in Yahweh, he says, I'm going to hurt you. That's all he's saying. You hurt you in your mind, and you start talking different. Because this thing all about is the 12 tribes unite them back as one. That's what the thing is all about. And that's why Jeremiah says, now it's going to Jeremiah give me a little bit more on Jeremiah. Run back to 13, 17 now, Mother D.F. Israel. Now let's run back to Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 17. Look what Jeremiah say. Jeremiah talking, and we trying to paint the picture of what everybody's saying. Look what Jeremiah said in 13, verse 17.
Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 17. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret place for your pride, and my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because Yahweh's flock is carried away captive.
You know why? Because you won't hear. You won't listen. He says, I'm gonna cry for you in secret places. I'm going to see, I always got about 2-3 handkerchiefs when I look at you. When I look at you, see what you're supposed to be on and how you're supposed to be in a hurry to be up on this right here, he said, I'm going to go and cry for you. Because do you know this man have no pledge in you when you draw back? When you ain't full steam ahead? Now let's go to that business Paul, verse 5 now. Listen to this. They're going to tell you something. Business Paul, verse 5. What he said, Brother Makai, in the Business of Paul, verse 5. Let's talk about a little bit of this.
Business of Paul, verse 5.
I will be breaking in on you to tie some precept in to paint the picture. So now be having a keen ear when I come in on you. And verse number 5. Come on. Business of Paul 5, what it say?
Business of Paul, verse number 5. Verse 5 reads. For sometimes the moon and stars address Yahweh, saying, Yahweh, Yahweh Almighty, to us you have given the power of the night. Till when shall we look down upon the impiities and fornications and homicides done by the sons of men? Permit us to do unto them according to our power, that they may know that you are Yahweh Allah. And there came a voice unto them, saying, I know all these things, and my eye looks forth, and ear hears. But my patience bears with them until they shall be converted and repent. But if they do not return unto me, I will judge them. Verse 6. And frequently also the sea exclaimed, saying, Yahweh, Yahweh Almighty, man have defiled your righteous name in me. Permit me to arise and cover every wood
and orchard and the whole world until I blot out all the sons of men from before your face, that they may know that you are Yahweh alone. And the voice came again and said, I know all things. My eyes see everything, and my ear hears. But my patience bears with them until they be converted and repent. But if they do not return, I will judge them. Sometimes the waters also spoke against the sin of man, saying, Yahweh, Yahweh Almighty, all the sons of man have defiled your righteous name. And there came a voice saying, I know all things before they come to pass. For my eye sees and my ear hears all things. But my patience bears with them until they be converted. But if not, I will judge them. Frequently also the earth too exclaimed to Yahweh against the sons of man, saying, Yahweh, Yahweh Almighty, I above every other creature of yours am on, supporting the fornication, adultery, homicide, thief, perjury, and magic, and ill doings of men, and all the evil they do, so that the father rises up against the son, and the son upon the father, the alien against the alien, so that each one defiles his neighbor's wife. The father extends upon the bed of his own son, and the son likewise extends the couch of his own father. And in all these evils, they who offer the sacrifice to your name have defiled your righteous place. Therefore, I am adjured above every creature, designed not to show my power to myself and my fruits to the sons of man. Permit me, and I will destroy the virtue of my fruit. And there came a voice that said, I know all things, and there is none who can hide himself from his sin. Moreover, I know their impurities, but my righteousness suffers them until they be converted and repent. But if they do not return to me, I will judge them. First chapter.
Now that was five. So you see, all the elements, the water, the sun, everything has to answer to Yahweh. You think even the ground that you walk on got a report on you, and Yahweh can ask the ground on how you operate. And the ground said, listen, can I do something to them? Now, we're going to check on the ground when the ground element is ready to do something to you. But only thing holds them back is Yahweh. Let me show you about the ground. Oh, Mother Day of Israel. Let me show you that the whole elements of the world know about what you want. I want to give a case in point about the ground there. Now, usually there's the ground say, is it, can I do something to them? You know, they running on me, on my back. And can I do something to them? That's what he just said. Now, I'm going to show you something about the ground that we can reach. Now, the water asked the question. If they ask the question, but Yahweh said, if I'm going to wait on them to repent. If they don't come back to me, I'm going to wait on them. I'm going to give them a little more time. So everybody reports to Yahweh, because what you think that you're doing now, and you getting away with, you ain't getting away with nothing. Everything that's created by Yahweh has a record book. And all they got to do, actually, remember that record a long time ago, the blues man made? If walls can talk, yeah. Yahweh had a wall telling about you. Oh, you get the answer. If walls can talk, I want to see what the ground did. I want to see the ground, but the ground just said, you know, can I do something to Let's go to the 16th chapter there, Mother Israel. I want to see, do Yahweh got control of the ground? And we're going to the 16th chapter, and we want to pick it up around about verse number 46. Let's see what Moses said, and what can we come up with? Number 16, verse 46. Pick it up right there, just read a little bit until we get our point. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you what. Hold that point. Back up for time's sake. You're going to get away from me because I just really want to. In the 16th chapter, just pick it up right up at verse number 31. 31 down to verse 33. And we'll leave it like that. We hope you get the picture on your own. Numbers chapter 16, 31 to 33. What does it say?
Numbers chapter 16, verse 31 to 33.
Well, hold that point, Moses. Pick the verse that I got the very Yahweh in there. Because, see, Moses was the man of the hour. And what did Moses say in verse 30 down to verse 33? That's my final verse. Pick the verse 30 to 3 down to verse 33. Listen to this. Now, remember what you read in Vision of Paul now. Now, watch this right here. Verse 30 down to verse 33. Go ahead.
Numbers chapter 16, verses 30 to 33, verse 30. But if Yahweh maketh a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that obtain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked Yahweh. 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all those words, that the ground cleaved asunder that was under them. Verse 32. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses, and all the men that pertaineth unto Korah, and all their goods. 33. They and all that pertaineth to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation.
See what's going on here? This man got too much power for you not to have no urgency on what this man on. You see what the man saying? You see what the earth act? Now go back and read what the earth said again, Brother Micaiah. So we got a case in point that Paul was pulling something somewhere. What did the earth say to Yahweh?
Okay. Going back to verse 5. So chapter five, picking it back up in the beginning of five. Well, that was the six. It's in six. But if they do not return,
pick it up. Pick it up where it said where the earth doesn't talking. Where was it? The earth doesn't talking there. The earth said something to Yahweh, and the earth said, let me go do such thing right there about what the earth said to Yahweh.
Okay. I'm pulling it up right now. I'm trying to get exactly what it said. The earth has said. Pick it up at verse 6. Verse 6 reads, and frequently, also the sea is claimed sand. Skipping down from the sea, trying to find a part. Sometimes the water skipping down because it's a long read.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Oh, here you go.
For time,
got
right even, you got the herb? You got my herb yet? What the herb say?
Okay, frequently also the earth too exclaims to Yahuwah against the sons of man, saying, Yahuwah, Yahuwah Almighty, I above every other creature of yours am harmed, supporting the fornication, adultery, homicide, thief, perjury, and magic, and ill doings of men, and all the evil they do. So that the Father rises up against the Son, and the Son upon the Father, the alien against the alien, so that each one defiles his neighbor's wife. The Father ascends upon the bed of his own Son, and the Son likewise ascends the couch of his own Father. And in all these evils, they will offer the sacrifice to your name, have defiled your righteous place. Therefore, I am injured above every creature, desiring not to show my power to myself and my fruits to the sons of man. Permit me, and I will destroy the virtue of my fruits. And there came a voice and said, I know all things, and there is none who can hide himself from his sins. Moreover, I know their intentions, but my righteousness suffers them until they be converted and repent. But if they do not return unto me, I will judge them.
You see, so the earth reports to Yahuwah. He said, okay, well, let me just take some of this sweetness out the tree. Let me do something because of what they got going on. So Yahuwah is saying, the ministry of letting Paul know, every element reports back to me. So wherever you own, whatever elements you in, he can have your car report back to him. He can have your tie. He can have your socks talk to him. That's how much power this man got. You know the socks you put on? He can tell that sock, Kenny, what did he do all day? See that?
Mm-hmm.
You know your socks are mm-hmm. on you all day, right? He can have a sock tell him on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to the seventh chapter. Let's get one more in. We'll bring our ear in. We're gonna beat this a little while because we want to let you know the out of body experience that people claim that they have. And no, you ain't got. No, Yahuwah told you I speak to you. He read you same way Paul. Paul ain't went nowhere, but Paul's brain was mm-hmm. put in that spot. See what he had to see. He never left where he was at. So all that out-of-body experience, no, it don't work like that. Only time you come about this body is when you die. And then when you die, either Micah going to meet you or Top Luther is going to meet you. That was going to happen. So when you go to these funerals, understand one thing. Y'all, you know the record. Well, let me see the record is, were they up to a keeper? No. Well, you know, Micah ain't going to meet him then. Mm-hmm. Whoever it is, so you. Micah ain't going to meet you if you're in Turkey. But somebody is going to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't going to be glad to see you too. We'll talk about it later. Talk about it last night, left. And he loved his job too. He loved his job so much that he got his mental spirit, key sticks out the mouth. They'd be so happy to get at you. And want to bull rush you and work you over. Okay? Verse 7. Let's look at verse 7. Let's get our ear in after verse 7. Let's see what we need to get out of verse 7. Vision of Paul, verse 7. Let's see what we're working with there, Brother Micaiah, in verse 7.
Vision of Paul, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, Behold, you sons of men, the creature is subject to Yahuwah. But the human race alone sins. For this cause, therefore, you sons of men, bless Yahuwah unceasingly, every hour and every day.
but the more, especially when the sun has set. For at that hour, all the ministering spirits proceed to Yahweh to worship him and to present the works of man, which every man has brought from the morning till the evening, whether good or evil. And there is a certain ministering spirit who proceeds, rejoicing concerning the man in whom he dwells. When therefore the sun has set in the first hour of night, in the same hour the ministering spirit of every people and every man and woman who protects and preserves them, because man is the image of Yahweh. Similarly, also in the main hour, which is the 12th of the night, in the mid hour, which is the 12th of the night, all the ministering spirits of men and women go up to Yahweh to worship Yahweh and present every work which each man has wrought, whether good or evil. Moreover, every day and night, the ministering spirits show to Yahweh an account of all the acts of the human race. To you, therefore, I say, you sons of men, bless Yahweh. Yahweh without fail all the day of your life.
Yes, see, right? You think you can remember that everybody has a spirit, a mental spirit with them. Some is saying, man, this is a terrible ride. When are you going to kill this son of God here? If I can give you a report on it. You see? Everything that you do, you have a spirit there is riding shotgun with you. And just right now. See, you don't never want to do right. You have cocking. You doing everything half. You don't care about it. Let's get one more in. Get one more in because the WCC said, listen, you know what, sir? I'm going to mute Brother Micaiah. How about that? You going to mute the young man, huh? Well, what can I say? We have to make adjustment on it because WCC said we're going to mute Brother Micaiah. He's through talking for the night. Because you making us scared. What are we making you scared for? We just tell you where it is, where you've been taught. You've been taught wrong. We're going to tell you exactly what's going on. So now we can't deal with no more business in the poll, but we'll come back at it another time. Now, okay, well, we just bring our elder in now. Young Lion, you will be off the broadcast for the rest of the night. WCC said they're going to mute you. Let me bring our elder in, and maybe our elder can give you his closing statement on Take 119. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock for Take 119. Come on. Elder Tibbs, you're on the clock for Latter-day Saints. We going to mute Mr. Tibbs, too. What about that? Well, ain't nobody left but Mother D of Israel. Well, y'all make it the best way y'all can. All right. Well, Mother D of Israel, let's see if we make a little adjustment on this what we on now. Because, they'll give out a lot of degrees on things they don't understand. But, see, in the business part, we're going to get it out sooner or later. We don't get out because Paul, remember, if you love to read Paul in the book of Romans, Paul also wrote his vision after the Middle Spirit told him, hey, Paul, hey, all right, I want you to write something. The only one I'm going to bring it out is the six or nine accounts of boss of the two Israelites. He said, yeah, that's all I'm going to bring this thing out. That's why I keep telling you six or nine accounts. You got to take this more seriously. You got to step it up a little bit. And three out of six camps, I'm very disappointed in three out of six camps. Very disappointed how you're dragging your feet in this good stuff here. Because you got to be able to tell people exactly what happened at Mount Rosa. What happened in your daily walk? Who watching you and who ain't? You have to be out here all these good answers. It's time to give them some answers. You know, you keep letting that one eye Satan do all the answers, and that one eye Satan is kryptonite to you. Okay, let's make a little adjustment there, Mother D.F. Israel. Let's see if we can make a little adjustment. Let's run to the book of Psalms 132. We're going to find out something that this, you going somewhere, Yahweh can tell you exactly, because David's going to want to know something. What does David want to know in 132? 1 down to verse 4, 12 through 18. Let's see what we can read about what David want to know. And you should be want to know too. David's going to ask the question. He want to know something. So we'll get back on the business, Paul, another time, and we'll break that down another time. But we want to find out what David asked Yahweh in 132, 1 down to verse 4, 12 through 18. Take your time there, Mother dear of Israel. We got to take it on in now. 132, 1 through 4, 12 through 18. You on the clock. Come on.
Psalms 132, verses 1 to 4, 12 to 18, verse 1. Yahweh remembered David and all his afflictions. Verse 2, how he swore unto Yahweh and vowed unto the mighty Yahweh of Israel. Verse 3, surely I will not come unto the tabernacle of my house, nor go up unto my bed. Verse 4, I will not give sleep to my eyes, or slumber to my eyelids. Verse 12. If your children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon your throne forevermore. Verse 13. For Yahweh has chosen Yahweh. He has desired it for his tabernacle, its inhabitation. Verse 14. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Verse 15. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. 16. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. 17. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. 18. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish.
So you say you gonna take care of the enemy, and he tell you where he gonna be at. So you want to be where he gonna be at? That way he say he gonna be at. Let's get a precept on that. For Ezekiel pulled that verse in the 43rd chapter of Ezekiel, verse number 6 and 7. Let's see what Yahweh said to Ezekiel, pointing back 300 years later from what was told to David in Ezekiel 43, verse 6 and 7. Let's see what Yahweh said that he going to be at. You on the clock, come on. Ezekiel 43, verse 6 and 7.
Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the temple of the house, and the man stood before me. Verse 7. And he said to me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the sole of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my righteous name shall the family of Israel shall the family of Israel no more defiled, neither they nor their king by their wotum, nor by the carcass of their kings in their high place.
Mm-hmm. All right, good enough to have Mother Deb, Israel. So you know it's the face of his book, that's where he's going to be at. But I'm going to make a little alteration on something.
Okay.
I'm going to put that down for a minute. I want to show you something that's written in 11 verse 6 of Job, Issachar's book. What do you got written that we can read? 11 verse 6. What can we read in the book of Issachar's boy, Job? 11 verse 6.
Yeah, Job. 11 verse 6. Okay. Job, chapter 11, verse 6. And that he would show thee the secret of wisdom, that they are double to that which is known, therefore, that Yahweh
That's good right there. So the Bible have a double meaning to it. I'm going and get a point that's in this book that you need to know, and we're gonna bring it out. In no accident. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 15. Let's go to Genesis 4, 15. Let's bring out something. Let's bring out another mystery that the world do not know, but they're going to know after we get to lay it out there. Let's see what they don't know and we will reveal on tape number 119. Let's find out what's going on in Genesis 4, 15, D.F. Israel. What can we read in Genesis 4, 15?
Genesis chapter 4, verse 15. And Yahweh said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark upon Cain, lest any
and
find
Yahweh,
him.
And Yahweh put a what on him? What he put on Cain?
A mark. A mark upon
Cain. He put a mark on Cain. Okay. He put a mark on Cain. Good. Now, Cain and Abel is brothers. But remember, the Bible have a double meaning.
Right.
A mark was put on Cain. And what is that mark today that we can read? That mark. Let's go to Genesis 27, 38 down to verse 40. Let's find out if that mark was transferred to something. Let's see what that mark became. That you always can be able to know the reason, the way you was able to identify the sons of Cain, he put a mark on him. There's another people by their mark. Let's see what's going on here. Go to Genesis 27, 38 through 40.
Genesis 27, verse 38 through 40. Genesis 27, verse 38. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. Verse 40. And by thy sword shall thou live and shall serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off your neck.
Mm-hmm. So now, this mark is a people that lives, breathes the sword. This is a people that the only way you can find them out today, they have to fit this kind of activity, the sword.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to find out some more about this sword with the same thing as that they mark, the sword. Now, they mark is the sword. That what they mark
mm-hmm.
is, the sword.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at something on the way of looking at something. Let's look at the 12th chapter, verse number 8. And I'm going to ask you of something, Mother D.F. Israel. And this really can fit anybody. But Yahweh got something in this book that can be brought out in this lesson shortly. In Psalms 12, verse number 8, tell me what do you read, 12, verse 8?
Okay. Psalms 12, verse 8. Okay.
Mm-hmm. 12, verse 8.
Psalms chapter 12, verse 8. The wicked walk on every side. When the valiant men are exalted.
Now, how is they spelling that wicked that we can read in verse 8? How is they spelling that? Look at that second word. How is they spelling the wicked? How's he spelling it? Right there, the second word. Spell that word out.
W-I-C-K-E-D.
Uh-huh, good. I'm going, it's a form to bring out. So that's the wicked, he talks, this wicked right here can be anybody. Let's go to Maccabees chapter 1. Let's go to this wicked right here can be, that he's talking about right here can be anybody. Anybody can be wicked. Oh, yeah, you follow the wrong system, you're automatically wicked. But we go and get a point that Yahweh dropped a code in his Bible. And somebody will have to bring it out. Why not us bring it out? Let's see what he got written in the book of Maccabees, chapter 1, number 11. And let's see what you read in Maccabees 1:11. What you reading, Mother D.F. Israel, 1:11?
First Maccabees.
Yeah.
First Maccabees.
Yeah, what you read out of
1:11? Okay. First Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 11. And it reads, in those days went there out of Israel wicked men who persuaded many, saying, let us go and make a covenant with the nation that are round about us. For since we departed from them, we have had much sorrow.
Mm-hmm. And how are they spelling that wicked? How are they spelling that wicked right there? In 1:11. The wicked.
W-I-C-K-E-D.
Mm-hmm. So he's spelling that wicked right there the same way.
Yeah.
So that can be anybody. You see what, let me peep that at 1:11. 1:11.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
This wicked right here is spelling just regular wicked. So this wicked can be anybody. Matter of fact, this wicked was Israel. Good. So that wicked is Israel. Now, to Proverbs, chapter 11, verse number 21. Proverbs 11, 21.
Okay. Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered.
Mm. So they regularly spell this wicked, or this wicked red can be talking about anybody. This wicked red is talking about, can be talking about anybody. Wicked can be talking about anyway. Regular letters, W-I-C-K-E-D, wicked. Let's go to now. Let's go to Second Thessalonica, chapter 2. Now you'll see three places where the wicked was. It could be anybody. It could be Israel. It could be Israel. It could be anybody. All of a sudden, Yahweh pulled Paul to the side and said something, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And you remember what you was looking at real, Kevin? Tell me something. Do you notice anything different here in 2, verse 8?
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Wait a minute. Mother, dear of Israel, if I'm just last noticed, is there anything you notice different between the three wickeds that you just got through reading? And the wicked you read here, is there anything that caught your attention? Well, I ain't gonna hold your suspense. I ain't let you wrestle with it. This wicked, he said, then shall that wicked be destroyed, be revealed. Mm-hmm. That wicked, he capitalized this wicked. This wicked right here is that wicked got to be revealed. Not just the wicked of men. No, it's a specific wicked he wants you to know about. That's why it was put right in your King James Bible that wicked, capital letter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a special wicked that you need to know about. He's not like the rest of them. This is that wicked. You see, they capitalized this wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And then shall that capitalized be revealed. This is the wicked he wants you to know about. Why did he capitalize this wicked? See, that's a code for those that got the understanding that it is a specific wicked that must be revealed. See that theory, right? Yeah. You know, he capitalized this wicked. Now, this was only for those, remember, the children of Israel all been in captivity. But they had the right to put a capital W here.
Mm.
Because it's talking about one specific group of people. It's the wicked of them all that got this.
Mm-hmm.
Not the one that break into your car and steal your purse if you mess around, left your purse on. Not that wicked. Want to take your town and car. Not that wicked. Not that. This is the wicked he wants you to know about. Right here. This wicked got to be revealed. Go over to chapter 1. Let's see if we run down this wicked that need to be revealed. See, let me tell you something, right? That's why we got to come humble. And you got to be able to see the codes in the Bible, sitting on the camp. Now he's talking about a specific wicked. That wicked.
Mm.
He done everything but just calling him out, but Paul couldn't call him out because, remember, the children of Israel always been started in captivity. But he said, that wicked. And he capitalized that wicked. To be revealed. We're going to reveal them tonight. Let's go to Obadiah chapter 1, verse 6. Let's see if we reveal that wicked. That's capitalized. You know when you capitalize something, it takes you to capitalize something like when you write your name. You can't write your name. You got to capitalize your name. See? So, in the book of Obadiah, Israel, listen, can we, before you read that, read 49:10 of Jeremiah getting warmed up to become that. Let's see if we identify that wicked. Because the reason why we say that, because we had a memo, and the lady said after they were shot up, all in this young man, she said, the young man, why do they keep on? I mean, that's what we're saying about these pastors and these other people. The Bible tell you that wicked got a job to do. And every time that you can jump into a cage of rattlesnakes and think you in the cage with the rattlesnake and you ain't going to get bit. Do you know you can't get in a cage of rattlesnakes and you're not going to get bit somewhere? They get the anger on you. And that's what the preachers have forgot to teach you about you dealing with that wicked. And that wicked got a job to do on you. That wicked. You see? But you have to know these things. But you won't get yourself caught up with that wicked. And that wicked in the book of Obadiah, 1:6 is reading a little bit about that. Read Jeremiah 49:10, get warmed up. And I meet you in Obadiah chapter 1. I know what you're saying, but that wicked that is capitalized got to be revealed. Because you study bringing all these religions together and want to know why did he do what he do. You got to know the nature of what people that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
That wicked. Let's see what we got in the book of Obadiah.
Jeremiah.
49:10. Give me warm up in 49:10. Let's get warm up in 49:10 first. 49:10. See, you have to, you know, when surprises all hit you and you don't understand what's going on, and that one eye saying everything to surprise you, get you off balance, and you all out of pocket. This is the reason why you have to understand something. You have to be clear that you need to be able to be clear about that wicked that got to be revealed. And that wicked got a name, 49:10.
Jeremiah chapter 49:10. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret place. And he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is far, and his brother and his neighbor, and he is not.
You see? So now let's go and look at Obadiah, chapter 1, verse number 6.
Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 6. How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? Verse 7.
He said, that's good. Hold on. How is Esau, the thing that he behind, how have they been sought out? Who is going to put the finger on a person that's supposed to not be here? Somebody got to put the finger on a people because that wicked is here. Because in the book of Ecclesiastes, it tells you something that you're supposed to never forget. And Ecclesiastes, in the regular book of Ecclesiastes, because that wicked got to be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to review it from a page of the book. And these peoples that you go and to sit up under their ministry, and now you got the people wanna, what happened? Why are these things happening? Because you got to understand the Bible. It says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, their mother, Israel, it says, he says something. I'm trying to get me a point out of it. And see what he says in verse number. Let me see what Paul says. Let me see what Paul says first. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 4. What do 1 verse 4 say?
Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 4. One generation passes away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abides forever.
He said, the earth will always be here. So ain't nobody gonna destroy the earth. But I wanna get down to peoples. What it say in verse 9? I wanna know about peoples. I wanna know something about peoples. Because there's a people saying that the descendants of that wicked Esau, it don't exist no more. They're not here no more.
Mm.
So this is what they have taught. Oh, well, you know, Esau, he's not here no more. He's been destroyed. He's not here. Well, who are you supposed to be? Verse number 9.
Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. The things that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
Okay. Verse 10.
Verse 10. Is there anything whereof, if it may be said, see, this is new. It has been already of old time, which was before us.
Verse 11.
There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after.
Mm-hmm. So, but I still ain't got my number one here. I'm missing something. I'm missing that. I'm missing something. And I'm missing something about man. There's no end to man. I'm trying to, I don't know, I'm missing something. Maybe I'll catch in the next lesson. I'm missing something about man, unless I've read it already. But it's something about man. I need to, you understand that every man, okay, I gotta put that on. I gotta come back with that. Let's go to 4:16. Let's go to 4:16, and let's see what he says in 4:16. Yeah, 4:16. Because people say that this man Esau is not a people no more. It's no such thing as no Esau no more. But I beg the difference according to Ecclesiastes 4:16 says what?
Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 16. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vegetation of spirits.
Mm-hmm. So you see, it says it's no end to the people. So when they tell you about, no, Esau don't exist no more, no. According to 4:16, you exist. It just, you just don't know. We just don't believe. But Yahweh put a mark on Esau as exactly put a mark on Cain. He put a mark on Esau. His mark is how he lives, by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sword man. That is his mark. Esau's descendants is the sword carrier.
Mm-hmm.
That's the prophecy of it. They the sword man. That's how they operate through prophecy. How you know who Esau is? Who is the number one sword carrier?
Mm-hmm.
You remember prophecy was in 27:40? Come back and read it again in 27:40 again. Let's see, can we show you what the prophecy of the sword man, how you were going to operate. You're going to operate according to 41. 27:41. This is how the sword man was going to operate through all generations until time appointed. What is
Genesis?
This
Genesis chapter 27:41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his mind, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother, Jacob.
Yeah. And every time Jacob tries to bring that to exactly what's going on, what happened that we can read the answer he gets in day mind? In Zechariah 11:5. Let's see what we can read in 11:5. Zechariah chapter 11:5.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what he says. Okay. Zechariah 11:5.
Okay. Zechariah chapter 11:5. Who possessors slayed them and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be Yahweh, for I am rich, and their own shepherd pities them not.
Who possessors slayed them and they hold themselves what?
Not guilty.
Not guilty. Didn't that young man that you go back and look it up, didn't that young man come before the jury or whatever, the judge, and they asked him a question? He go on the computer and pull up. He said, what is, let me see how the high words they use. He said, how you plead about what you did? Do you know what he said after he shot up and on his pistol he had the N-word on his rifle?
Yeah.
After he shot up, he stand before the court system and said, I'm not guilty.
Mm.
I'm not guilty. You're not guilty. Didn't you peek through the window? Shot through the window? Shut up. People's everywhere. You know what day he did it on? The Sabbath day, see, right? Sabbath day. That's when he went in, when those that was supposed to be in some class, they were fine and separate. And he came in there, shot through the window. It was already a report about him prior that he already said that that's what he want to do. It's already in his record. See, you got to have the records on everybody. what you said, WCC, you got some on that? What you got on the WCC? So, he stood before the court system and said, what you plead? He said, not guilty. Read 11 verse 6 again.
11 verse 5.
Good morning. No, it couldn't have been easy for the victim's family in that courtroom yesterday. As for Gendron, he remains behind bars this morning, being held without bail after pleading not guilty. Ano, we've been here all week, Tony, Gil, and Nate, and for a lot of these families that we've spoken to, the question is not about why this happened. Their question is to white supremacists. Why do you hate us?
We just want to live in peace. My grandchildren are here. My great-grandchildren, my children. I ain't scared for them.
Family members of the 10 people massacred at a Buffalo supermarket called on the country to confront and stop racist violence.
That racist young man took my mother away.
You hold stop.
Yes. What am I to do? What am I supposed to do now?
The eldest daughter of 86-year-old victim Ruth Mitchell struggled for words. The night of the shooting, they were supposed to see a musical together.
I need this violence to stop. We need to fix it. And we need to fix it now.
The 12-year-old Jake Patterson, who lost his father, Hayward Patterson, kept his face covered with his hands as his mother described how he's now having trouble eating and sleeping.
As a mother, what am I supposed to do to help him get through this? I need a village to help me raise and be here for my son because he has no father.
Thursday morning, the accused gunman, 18-year-old Peyton Gendron, made a brief court appearance. He's been charged with murder in the first degree, and prosecutors say he could face hate crime and domestic terrorism charges.
Hey, you're a coward!
Jerome Wright is a deacon at a local church who has been offering support to the grieving families. He says meaningful change goes beyond getting justice for Saturday's attack.
This community is hurting and grieving and mourning, and though the gunman may have been apprehended, the killer, white supremacy, institutional and internalized racism is still on the loose. Stop.
Well.
I guess y'all pull a rabbit out of the head, huh? No question about it. So, read 11 verse 6 again. What it says in Zechariah 11 verse number 6.
Or is it 5? Who?
Make it 11:5. What is it? 11:5. What does 11:5 say?
Zechariah chapter 11 verse 5. Who oppressors slay them. What did I say? Who possessors slay them.
Yeah.
Whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be Yahweh, for I am rich, and their own shepherd pitied them not.
You see that? And your own shepherd, you know how they pitied you not? They would not teach you nothing. They would not teach you nothing. And they would not have you, that we can read in Ezekiel, they would not have you, what? And Ezekiel, that we can read that, mother, D.F. Israel, they would not have you, have you what in 13 verse 5?
Ezekiel, chapter 13, verse 5. Ezekiel 13, verse 5 reads, ye have not gone up unto the gap, neither made up the hedge for the family of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of Yahuwah.
He said, you ain't went in the gap, you preachers, you Christian pastors. You have a path of people to understand what this Bible have seen. You cannot get into a cage of rattlesnakes and think you're not going to get bit. You get in a cage of rattlesnakes, you will be bit. You won't read Ecclesiastes 1:15 in your Klepto-Dollars, TDJ, all the Christian pastors. You will never read Ecclesiastes 1:15. The young man came into court and said, I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. And you just heard it play. That let me know. See, sooner or later, the WCC, a whole lot of them going to break out because they can go right on their computer and pow when they get ready. See, they got everything in their hand, but they waiting on you to bring it out. See, I'm saying something, Steve Reyes. That 11 verse 5, they your possessors hold you, and they say, we ain't guilty. No, we ain't guilty when we come over and touch the Northern Kingdom land. No, we ain't guilty for that. We ain't guilty. We ain't guilty 400-some years of some of the Southern Kingdom got over here in slavery and worked for nothing. Oh, we ain't guilty on that. None of that. We ain't guilty. Did you hear what he just said? They said that he said he's not guilty of reloading his long pistol. And he points the long pistol at somebody looking like him. He said, oh, I'm one of you. He said, oh, I'm sorry. And he shot at the one that didn't look like him. And he had it written on this thing, on his pistol. Now, I want to see who will give me what he had written on his long pistol. What name did he have written on his long pistol? See, that's what we keep telling you, see, right here. Stand with a man, keep telling you in St. John 7, verse 6. He keep telling you something, but you're not paying it no never mind what he's saying in St. John 11, verse 6. What he say?
St. John chapter 7, verse 6.
7, verse 6. Yeah, what he saying in 7, verse 6?
St. John chapter 7, verse 6. Then Yahuwah the Son said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
You see the man saying, now look at the ones that on the Sabbath day, young man, 18 years old, went in there and just shot up him 10, 12 black folks. You said that. African-American. Because that's all they know they were. And then who they had to stand there with them? Same old Christian pastor. Talking about we should overcome. Never tell us a record exactly why what Yahuwah is saying. You never tell them the record. Shame on you. You won't tell them the record that's written in Ecclesiastes 1:15. You said, what would make a person do that? Do you ever sit in your church on Sunday and read 1:15 to get a question answered? What it says in Ecclesiastes 1:15.
Okay.
After that good doctor is gone, there'll never be another black messiah unless we create him.
Ecclesiastes 1:15,
what it say?
Ecclesiastes 1:15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered.
See, you will not tell the people power is over us. You know why? You know what Yahweh said? Hold that point. Let me pull it right out of that. Give me Deuteronomy 28, 47 through 49. Give me that. We come right back here. Did you know what Yahweh said?
28, 47 to 49. Deuteronomy chapter 28, 47 to 49. Verse 47. Because thou servest not Yahweh your Yahweh with joyfulness and with gladness of mind. For the abundance of all things. 48. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemy, which Yahweh shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed thee. Verse 49.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
So you hear what he said gonna happen to you? Because you don't want to serve me? First of all, he told you about the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, we're going to do everything just contrary to the Sabbath day. He said, since you're going to serve me, you're going to serve your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes 7:13 says what?
You say Ecclesiastes
7:13.
Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13. Consider the works of Yahweh, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked?
Yeah. He says, consider the works of Yahweh. Do you understand he made a people crooked? And nothing you can do to straighten them out. But on the way, you, your outcard is returned back to what's written that you agreed on.
Right.
Let's go to Malachi chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. See, these Sunday pastors will not teach the people of the book who they are and what's on them that we can read after we get through reading this. Let's run to Malachi chapter 4, verse 3 and 4.
Malachi chapter 4, verse 3 and 4.
Verse 3 and 4.
Yeah, that's what I said. Malachi chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ash under the sole of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says Yahweh of hosts.
Now, what are you reading?
I'm reading Malachi chapter 4, verse 3 and 4.
Okay.
Malachi chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And I hated Esau and laid his mountain and his heritage waste for the dragon of the wilderness. Verse 4, whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, But we will return and build the desolate place. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom Yahweh has indignation forever.
Calling the border who?
The borders of wickedness.
Now come back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Come back to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8.
Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy.
So now who is that wicked? Who is that wicked in Malachi 1 verse 4? Who is that wicked in Malachi 1 verse 4 that got to be revealed? That wicked. 1 verse 4.
Okay, I got to get that through. Okay, so chapter 1.
1 verse 4.
Malachi chapter 1.
Who is? Yeah, go ahead.
Malachi chapter 1, verse 4. Whereas Edom, Esau and his five sons said, we are imperishable, but we will return and build the desolate place. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the borders of wickedness, and the people against whom Yahweh has indignation forever.
Don't you know that can not be a no other wicked act? Now, how can an 18-year-old boy have that much hate in him? Where he had to get it from? 18? Had that much hate in him to load up his pistol, his long pistol, twice, and go on the Sabbath day and shoot up 10, 15 peoples of color.
Mm-hmm.
And he points the big pistol on somebody look like him. He says, oh, I'm sorry, sir. This thing is only for one people. How did you get that? That had to have been trained in him. And just as that was trained in him, and that's the reason you preachers is not what he's talking about, because you don't have the people prepared to be training them about things that the Bible says. Go to Romans chapter 13, verse 4. Romans 13, verse 4. See, this is our duty. This is our duty to train our people what the Bible is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 13, verse 4.
Romans chapter 13, verse 4. For he is the minister of Yahweh to thee for good. But if thou doest that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of Yahweh, a avenger to execute wrath upon him that doest evil.
Now you see that? He said, this man is his sword man to get at you. He was created to get at you. That's what? The sword man. To execute vengeance on those that refuse to understand one thing. You have to turn back to Yahweh. You cannot keep on continue doing what you're doing. Because you died and sinned on the Sabbath day. You're supposed to be in a class. So he got a man out here to execute punishment called the wicked. And he's a sword man. and he loved what he doing, just like Tata Teresa do. Here one more in the closing statement. Let's go to Ezekiel 35.